If you still have your Bibles, I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 14. I'd like to read you the rest of the story, beginning in verse 23. In fact, let me read verse 22 again, where we left off a minute ago. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." Ken asked me a question coming out of church this morning. If you go over and read this in the book of John, you'll see that the people, after he fed the 5,000 men and the women and children, they wanted to make him king. And so that he told his disciples, "You go ahead and leave, and I'll send the folks away," because he was not coming as a king at this particular point. He was coming as a savior. And he didn't want people getting ahead of him. That's why he told people on certain occasions, like in the story this morning, to the two blind men, "Don't tell anybody." Of course, like we're talking about, that's just like saying, "Sick him to a dog. Don't tell anybody." You know, it's like saying, "Yeah, this is a secret." Yeah, that's the first thing we tell. Jesus was coming as a savior. Verse 23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" This was an eventful day for Jesus and the disciples. A great multitude had gathered together, and Jesus had spent the day teaching and preaching. He'd spent the day healing the sick and talking to them about the kingdom, the coming kingdom of God. Evening came, and the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," buy themselves dinner, buy themselves something to eat. And I'll remind you that Jesus doesn't send people away with their needs unmet. The world does. The world will send us away with our needs unmet, but not our Savior. If we go away from the Savior with our needs unmet, it's because we haven't taken what he's offered. And so he said, "Oh no, we're not going to send them away. You figure out what we're going to give them to eat." And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Andrew came and said, "Well, I've been scouting out the crowd. I've been looking around to see if anybody brought a lunch with them. And I found this one little boy over here that brought 5 little barley loaves of bread and 2 little fishes." But he says, "What is that among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make everybody sit down." He got them organized, sent them down in groups of 50 and 100. And by the way, it says 5,000 men besides women and children. If the ratio was right, like any other Baptist meeting, there were probably 15,000 people there. 2 to 1, women and children versus men. So 15,000 people in all probability were there. And he took the 5 little loaves of bread and 2 little fishes, and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Go feed everybody." And they went and everybody had all they could eat. And he said, "Take up the leftovers." And there were 12 baskets full of food left over. 12 baskets full of fish and bread. And in verse 22, we read it twice. "And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." He constrained them. He said, "You need to get into a ship and you need to go to the other side." Again, you read the story in John, they wanted to rise up and make him king. He didn't want that. And he wanted to get the disciples out of there so they wouldn't fall in with the crowd and want to make him king. So he said, "No, you guys need to go. You need to get into a ship, right? You need to get into the ship right now." I don't know if it was Peter or James and John's. I don't know which one it was. Probably one of theirs. But he says, "You need to get into the boat." He almost forced them to get into the boat. He constrained them to get into the boat and said, "Hey, you go ahead and start out for the other side." Now, the rest of the story is this. There was a storm coming. There was a storm brewing on the sea that night. The wind was going to blow. The waves were going to beat into the ship. And here's what I want you to think about. Surely one who had just taken five little pieces of bread and two little fish and fed 15,000 people, surely he knew that there was a storm coming. This one that had spent the day talking about the kingdom of God and healing people and teaching them the truth about God knew better than any weatherman that we hear today. He knew what was coming on the sea. He knew that there was a storm coming that night. This one that could make the lame walk and the deaf hear and the blind see, like we talked about this morning. This one that could touch people's eyes that had never seen and make them see. He knew what was going to happen the next few minutes. He knew what was going to happen the next hour. He knew that this storm was going to come, and yet, he said to his disciples, I want you to get into the ship. I want you to start out. I'll stay here and send the people away. You get into the ship. You go to the other side. I'll catch up with you later. But knowing that the storm was coming, he said to his disciples, you go ahead and get into the ship. I mean, I think, why would God do that? A loving, kind God. These were his disciples. These were his friends. These were the ones that had given up their businesses and their professions, and they'd given their life to Christ. Why would Jesus knowingly tell them to get into a ship and go to the other side when he knew a storm was coming? Tonight I speak on the subject, into the storm. Into the storm. And I want to mention five things. I'm going to mention them quickly. I know what time it is. I'll tell you what tonight is going to be like. When I went to Florida, I stayed in a hotel over here, and our meeting was over here in another hotel, and there was a walkway between the two hotels. It rained all Saturday night after I got there, and it rained all day Sunday until about the sun went down. So about 7 o'clock, I decided to get out and take a little walk. I wanted to walk over and see where the meetings were going to be, so I walked this walkway between the two hotels. And right in the middle, there was a little cart selling ice cream sundaes. I said, this is fortuitous. And so I said, how much are they? She said, oh, they're only a dollar. I said, really? For an ice cream sundae? Just a dollar. She said, and I said, well, I'd like to have one. And so she dipped a couple scoops of ice cream. This girl, you know, they all wear name tags down there. Her name was Jessica. She was from Grand Rapids, Michigan. About 19 years old, I think. And so she dipped two scoops of ice cream into a little cup, and she said this to me. She said, you know, it's sort of the end of the night, and we're not like a regular ice cream stand, because when we get done at the end of the day, we just throw everything away. So would you mind if I sort of loaded it on? I said, what do you mean by that? She said, well, you know, I got all this syrup and these nuts and these cherries. And she said, do you mind if I just load it on because you're just going to throw it? I said, oh, well, go ahead. If you have to, go ahead. And so she loaded it on. And man, it was one of the best hot fudge sundaes I ever had. I said, is this the way it works all the time? Oh, yeah. We're not, you know, we don't put stuff in jars. If we don't use it, we just throw it away. I said, what time you close? She said, 8 o'clock. So Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, you know who was there about 7:45. I said, go ahead, load it on. I want you to know, I walked 2 hours a day while I was gone. I still gained 9 pounds. It was all that ice cream that did me in. So here's what tonight's going to be like. It's 7:45. We're down in front of that ice cream stand, and I say, we're about to close. Do you mind if I load it on? Now, most of you would say, no, go ahead, preacher, load it on. Now, remember that about 7:30 when I'm still preaching. I'm loading it on. Now, you listen, we'll get done about the same time. I want to mention five things. Number one, as I've already implied, Jesus sent his disciples into the storm. He knew it was coming. He knew the wind was going to blow strong. He knew how big the waves were going to be. He knew that ship was going to be tossed And yet he sent his disciples, constrained them to get into that boat and go into the storm. Number two, he prayed for them. In verse 23 it says, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray." Same story over in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Bible says, "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them." So he was in prayer by himself up on this mountain. He could look out and he could see the ship in the middle of the sea. He could see them working to get out of the storm. He could see them rowing, working and rowing to get the ship out of the storm. It was only natural. It's only natural when Jesus sees us in a storm that he prays for us. I'm sure he said, "Father, help them. They're in the middle of this sea and the storm is about them. Help them." In John chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible says, and this is Jesus talking, he said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." So he sent them into the storm. When they got in the middle of the storm, he prayed for them, but then he did something else. He came to them. In verse 25, the Bible says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." You see, it just wasn't enough for the Savior, their master, to pray for his disciples. When he saw them in the middle of the storm, when he saw the ship filling up with water, when he saw how hard they were working to bring it to land, he says, "I got to do more than pray. I got to go and be with them. I got to go and help them in the storm." Number four, he taught them. He taught them. They saw Jesus walking on the sea and they were afraid. Bible says they cried out in fear. They thought he was a ghost. He said, "Hey, don't be afraid. It's me. Fear not. It's me." And Peter said, he said, "Hey, if it's really you, Lord, if it's really you and not a ghost, let me get out of the boat and walk on the water and come to you." And Jesus said, "Come on. Come on." And I wish, you know, I hope in heaven that we can see highlights. I hope we have videos that we can see how things really happen, because I'd like to see how Peter got out of the boat. I'd like to see if he took a flying leap, you know, and got down on the water, if he came over and sticked his toe on the water to see if it was holding him up. I'd like to see how he got up, but he got out of the boat. Now, we might criticize him because he lost his faith and he started to sink, but I remind you, he's the only one that got out of the boat. The rest of those birds were still in the boat. They didn't want to get out and test Jesus. And so he got out of the boat and he started walking toward Jesus. I'm sure he started saying, "Man, this is pretty neat. I mean, nobody's ever done this before. I mean, even Moses, when God had him cross the Red Sea, they split that sea and they walked across on dry ground. Elijah and Elijah, when they walked across the Jordan River, God split. There ain't nobody but me and Jesus that walked on the water." And then he began to look around. Boy, those waves are high. And I'm sure the wind was blowing through his hair and the mist was, you know, just soaking him. And he started looking around. He said, "Man, I'm in trouble." And he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at what was going on, all the storms, the storm that was around him. He took his eyes off Jesus, and the Bible says he began to sink. And he cried out and he said, "Lord, save me." And the Bible says immediately Jesus reached and grabbed him and lifted him up. And he says, "Oh, thou of little faith. Oh, thou of little faith. Where was your faith? Where was your faith? You had it when you got out of the boat. You had it when you took those first few steps." And that's the lesson that he was teaching them. He wanted Peter and he wanted the rest of the disciples that to learn what it was to have a growing faith, to have a faith that got stronger and bigger the more time they spent with Jesus. In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Faith in God has two parts. It's believing that only God can help you, and then it's believing that God will help you. It's believing that only God, hey, when it comes to salvation, our faith has two parts. It's believing that only Jesus Christ can save you. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And if you believe that you can get to heaven any other way than Jesus, you don't have saving faith. It's believing that he's the only one that can make you right with God. And then it's believing that he wants to do it. that you'll come and take it, because he not only can do it, he wants to do it for you. And so Jesus was Jesus was trying to teach him. He said, yeah, you had faith to get saved, but I want you to learn as you go through this life that you can depend on me, because I'm the only one that can help you get through the storms in life, and I want to help you get through those storms. You see, Jesus was going to leave pretty soon. He was going to go back to those ivory palaces. He was going to go back to heaven. He was going to leave the disciples in charge. He was going to give them a commission to go into all the world and tell the world that Jesus was the Son of God and the Savior. And so he was teaching them that they needed to depend on him. And in verse 33, after the storm was over, the Bible says, then they that were on the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They learned the lesson. They caught what he was trying to teach them. And then number 5, he delivered them out of the storm. Verse 32, and when they were come into the ship, Jesus and Peter, when they came into the ship, the wind ceased, the waves quieted down, the storm stopped. Again, you read it over in the book of John, and the Bible says there was a great calm. A great calm. Now, I'll remind you tonight, God hasn't changed. It says in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus hasn't changed. Hebrews, over in the book of Hebrews, it says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here's my application. Number 1, he sends us into the storms. Some people think, well, when things happen in my life, it surprises God. No, it doesn't. God is not surprised by anything. You say, well, if God's not surprised, why does God let things happen in my life? The same reason he constrained the disciples to get into the ship. The same reason he almost forced them to get into that boat tonight and go out onto that lake when he knew a storm was coming. When you get sick, when you get a disease that the world thinks is a terrible disease because we can't cure it, when you fight cancer and you fight leukemia and you fight those other things, it's God that sent you into that. Say, preacher, how can you believe that? I think that's what the Bible teaches. He sends us into those storms. When somebody else in your family that you love, and I think it's harder, I'd rather have something myself than to have somebody I love have it. But when our loved one gets those diseases, it's God that sends us into those storms. When we have financial reversals, when we lose our job, when we live from paycheck to paycheck, when there's problems arise within our family, either between parents and children or between brothers and sisters, it's God that sends us into those storms. When we lose a loved one to death and God calls them up to heaven, God is not surprised. It's God that sends us into those storms. Just, I could just go around the room tonight. I could start over here and go here and go here. And I could tell you some of the storms, and I don't know about all of them. I just know about what you tell me about. I could point to person after person after person and say they're in a storm or they're getting ready to go into a storm. And I want to remind you tonight that God knows about every one of those storms, and indeed, he's the one that sends us into them. See, why would he do that? Why would God send us into the storm? Same reason he constrained the disciples to get into a ship. And he'll do the same thing for us. Number 2, he'll pray for us. He'll pray for us. Sometimes we get into the storms and we don't think God knows what's going on. We think he's way up in heaven, sort of has lost sight of us. Doesn't know about our trials, doesn't know about our burdens, doesn't know how we feel. I'll remind you tonight that God knows exactly, exactly, exactly how you feel. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we. I can't explain that to you. I don't know how he can know how a person who is fighting cancer feels. I don't know how he knows how he can feel the same way that a widow feels when after she's lost her husband. I can't explain it to you. I just take it by faith that God was tempted in all points like as we, and he knows how we feel. And I'll remind you tonight, he sits at the right hand of God. And I think as he looks down at his children, as we go through those storms, he turns to the Father and he says, would you help them? Would you give them the strength that they need to get through this storm? Would you give them the courage that they need? Would you give them the patience that they need? Would you give them what they need to get through this storm? But then he does something else, just like he did to the disciples. Just praying for us isn't enough. So he said, I can't leave them alone. He said, and that's why the Holy Spirit came when Jesus went back to heaven. So that when we go through those storms, we can know that God himself, in the form of the Holy Spirit, that one part of the Trinity, just as much God as God the Father, just as much God as Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God is with us in the middle of those storms. Now, I just ask you, you think about the people in the Bible. When, it's like Teresa sang in her song tonight, when do you feel the love of God the most? It's not on the mountaintop. It's not when the sun is shining. When you feel the love of God the most, it's when you're down in the valleys, when the cloud covers the sky in the middle of the storm, when the wind is blowing and the waves are beating into the ship, and you wonder how you're going to make it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't feel the presence of God before they got thrown into the fiery furnace like they did after. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar said, I thought we only threw three guys in. There's four of them in there, and one of them looks like the Son of God. That's when they had the greatest fellowship. That's when they felt the greatest love in the middle of the storm. And you go and you look at the people in the Bible, and then you look at your own experience. There are people in this room tonight, I know that they could testify because I've heard them say it with my own ears. The closest they felt to God was right in the middle of trouble. The time that they felt his presence the most and his love the most is when they were going through it. Number four, he teaches us. Same lesson he was trying to teach the disciples. You can depend on me. I am able, and I'm the only one that's able to help you. And you can count on me because I want to help you. I want to help you. You see, he wants our faith to grow. The faith that we got saved with, if you put it in human terms, it could be just a little bit of faith, like we were talking about this morning. It doesn't take a whole great big faith to get saved. It just takes a little faith. The little faith that God gives to every person. Enough faith to believe that he's the Son of God. And then when he went to Calvary, he paid for our sins. And if we'll come and ask him, he'll be our Savior. Little faith to get saved. But God doesn't want us to live our life with that little bit of saving faith. He wants that faith to get bigger and 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 get bigger. He wants it to grow. And the only way that it can grow, the only way that it can get bigger is he puts us in the middle of a test, in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a storm, and then he proves to us over and over and over again, you can depend on me. You can depend on me. And then number five, he delivers us from the storm. I can't wait for that to happen. I don't know if it's going to be when I take my last breath and I die and go to heaven. Or I don't know if one day I might be going about my business and hear that trumpet sound and hear that shout, come up hither! And we rise together to meet the Lord in the air. I don't know when it's going to be. But I know one day, he's going to take us out of the storm. And I think about that song, it will be worth it all when we see him. It'll be worth every storm that he put us through, every trial that we had to walk through, every valley that we had to walk through, every cloud that was over our head, every day that was gray. It will be worth it. Because you see, as your faith grows, you get closer to Jesus. You get closer to him. And the closer you are to him when he takes us out of this storm, the more you're going to enjoy heaven. The more you're going to enjoy going into his presence. So when the storm comes, as it will, and again, I can look around the room. There's people sitting here tonight that have been in a storm just about as long as I've known them. Seems to go from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another. And I want to tell you something. If you could look at their life now and compare it to what it was 19 or 20 years ago, you would see how much closer they are to God today than they were 20 years ago. I won't name any names, but I could give you two or three examples tonight that is true. It's true. They've been in the storm a long time. There's other people here tonight that maybe you're just going into it. It's just about to start, and you're about to find out how much God really loves you. Because, like Teresa's saying, the sail may be torn, the ship may be battered, but the anchor holds. The anchor holds. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this sweet reminder that you're a God who will never leave us or forsake us. You know what we go through. You know the storms of this life. And Father, in those storms, you're trying to teach us to trust you more. And I pray we wouldn't be hard-headed. I pray we wouldn't be hard-hearted. I pray, Father, that we, as we go through the storms, would be like the disciples. We would learn and learn and learn and learn and learn that truly you are the Son of God and that you love us. And you want us to be closer to you. I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. They would understand that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And they would come tonight and receive him. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to realize again, this life is not easy. It's a life full of hardship. But it's a life that's been designed to draw us closer to you. Make us trust you more. I pray, Father, you'd help us learn that lesson. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.